Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Yes, our people, just gone 7:52 Central African time. At that time of the morning, may you join us on the segment Straight Talk with Councillor Ahmed Farak. Ahmed, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alana salam to all our radio listeners on a beautiful Sunday morning. Allah has blessed us with another fine day, Shabbat.
Alhamdulillah, your segment, Straight Talk with Ahmed Farak. But we kick off straight with the latest on Kafan Dafan. What's the latest, Ahmed?
Shabbat, alhamdulillah. So far, everything is very quiet at the moment. Inshallah, alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us. There's no issues or anything. Yes, we have crisis at the mortuary with about 1,700 unclaimed bodies for the last 2 to 3 years, which we are busy dealing with it at the moment. In KZN alone, we got 10 mortuaries. And these are the biggest problem that we have is the city, the two mortuaries that has got the bulk of the bodies, which they have to now do something about it because this is going to be a serious health hazard as well. So, you know, with the load sharing, now we're going on to load stage 6. Now this is going to, you know, the decomposition is taking place. And then furthermore, the workers at the assistance at the mortuary department of health are getting sick and they're taking a few days off for various reasons. So I think this is a major issue and they are looking at it. In fact, I don't know, in the next week they have to make a decision what they are going to do. But the problem is we are faced with is in Pretoria where we cannot get the DNA fast enough because if the whole country DNA come to Pretoria, so that's where our backlog is. So hopefully by next week we should know where we are going on that matter, Shafa'at.
Good looking at a message here, Ahmed. It says, please, Brother Shafa'at, I've been wondering about this Bester case. They were playing hide and seek with the government officials when they're taking the bodies in and out. How many bodies did this Bester guy use as a pretext to get out of it, and the body that was burnt and the body that was dumped into the river? Does Ahmed have any inside information? I mean, I can tell you people, Ahmed is not a forensic cop or this and that, but maybe he's got some views on that. What's your views on that case, Ahmed?
Shafa'at, the best matter that was the man was on the run for the last just under a year. For 10 months he was on the run. How he got out of prison and he was a millionaire when he was inside a prison and he had it tapping for everything, whatever he needed. He was, from my understanding, from what I've been told, he was coming in and out of prison, yet he was a prisoner for 15 years. The issue is, how did they manage to orchestrate and mastermind what they're going to do? It's mind-boggling. Because the Department of Correctional Services are involved there. There's a whole lot of people are involved there. At the moment, they're sitting with 8 accused in this matter already. The matter is before the court at the moment. And now the issue is, how did they get a body in from the outside into the correctional services at the prison and then burn that place and take it out? Whether this body was a pauper's body that they brought it from the morgue and they orchestrated this whole scenario, or whether it was a inmate from the prison, that we don't know at the moment. There's further investigation in this matter here, but in the next couple of weeks, because there's a lot of people have been already caught in this matter. Yeah, they are before the court at the moment, so we should know where we are. But my assumption is that they have brought a body from one of the funeral parlors and they brought it to stage this whole drama, and that's how they got away with it.
Absolutely. And when you look at all the dramas that happened in correctional services and so forth, and you look at the judiciary and you look at our courts, and then you look at the tender fraud that has taken place in Itikweni. I mean, there's one guy that's a prisoner, and he still did some tender deals from prison, and that was shocking indeed. And then you look at Zandile Gumel, she's still there getting a full pay and still waiting for trial. What's really going on, Ahmed? People are saying, look at our tax money. So much of our tax money is going into wastage. And especially if you look at Itigweni, these guys really have run amok. But will they ever be accountable, Ahmed?
Shabbat, first and foremost, we must put a place on record that, before the SIU, the Special Investigation Unit, there's so much of cases that, I've got one of my colleagues is in the MPAC, that is where they look after the money. And I mean, he's, because we meet on a monthly basis, we do a due diligence on finances, because he's an accountant from, actually, let's say, Alan Baisley. And, we talk about these things, and he's a fully fledged chartered accountant, and he's been telling us the amount of cases up before the SIU, the Special Investigation Unit, that is mind-boggling. And as you rightly said, 600 million rand of tender fraud, Shafat. The guy is a company director. We have got in-house audit units. We got, you name it, the council has got, they got chartered accountants, they got they got the specialists in the field. How are all these things are taking place is just mind-boggling. In fact, you're getting 600 million is just over half a billion rand, and if you got unaccounted for 1.5 billion that we unaccounted expenditure that we have in the council. So if you take all these things, we are in, and we are looking for money for infrastructure. We cannot do anything. We got 600 informal settlement looking for the houses. We send the money back to national, because there's no accountability. There's nobody knows what they're doing. Instead of breaking it up into small segments, and we got different departments, and get the right people, or give this whole finance issue to top chartered accountants in the country and say, give it to them and let them do a proper due diligence, give it to Greinacher or Marianne Roberts or top contractors in the country, let them do the costing first before it comes to us. We pass it in council and then we say, okay, these are the ones we have went through it, give it to A, B, C, D, E, F. I think that's the only way it's going to work, because we're leaving it to the city manager, we're leaving it to the mayor, they're doing their own thing, and we're not getting out of our hole. In fact, the hole is getting bigger and bigger, and I don't think we will laugh. In fact, what saved us this month, especially July, when we got 55 billion from national for our infrastructure and everything else, our finances for our season starts in July, and we got 55 billion that came into our coffers. Now, if we're not going to run the city properly, in fact, they should put it under administration and bring in the top chartered accountants to run our city and start getting things done, because the people out there are frustrated, Shafat. Everyone you speak to, they say, we don't want to know anything. Just give us what we want. Fix our road. Give us our electricity. Give us our sanitation. Give us our water. I've come into government in 2021, in the latter part of 2021. Now, this November this year will be my second year. And Shafat, I think maybe I came into government at the wrong time, when everything is Fanafilla is finished, is dead and buried. Now we're trying to put this whole puzzle together, and it's not easy. And every way you go to, you're taking flack from the community. It's unbelievable. Fortunately, I'm strong. I've got my ducks in a row. We tell them, firstly, I'm not a ward councillor. I don't have to account. I'm accountable to the city for what is happening wrong. But I'm not a ward councillor. So the ward councillor is first in the firing line if you are a ward councillor, because you have to account for everything. The community will come full blazing at you. So I'm not there. Fortunately, I was not elected as a, because I came in very, very late. But I'm a councillor, but I'm still accountable to the city, so to the people, and I have to do service delivery. How do you do service delivery when you got people in government there, in the city, in within the ANC, are corrupt? They're not prepared to do anything. They're only interested in themselves. I think this looting is not going to stop now, because in the next 10 months, there is going to be the election. And they're going to loot much as they can to make sure they want to win this election. So that is the other major problem that we are going to face with.
Absolutely, Ahmed. Looking at a messenger from Ghaffari, he says, Assalamu alaikum, Blue Chef. And Ahmed, I want to know about this Chatsworth story. I believe there is these chetty councillors trying to belittle and run down the ANC. But all the time, they are skeeting. Has Ahmed any update on these DHOs? Ahmed, how do you respond to that?
Shafat, it is. I have seen some of the documentation that was placed before us to my party, and this thing is a matter of sub judice at the moment. There have been some of them have been charged, and they, you know, now you've seen the real side of the DA. You can see what they are doing. And they not only the ANC are chora mamas. Yes, these are bigger chora mamas than the ANC, but they're doing it in a district work in a cleaner way. Because if there's 10 rand there, they're leaving 6 rand and they're taking 4 rand. But they are stealing it. End of the day, the money is being taken away. So that is the problem that now Chatsworth will come to know. All the Indian areas who voted for the DA now will come to know what is actually happening there for themselves, Shabbat. They haven't done anything. DA has never done anything in case then for the people to see the infrastructure. If they have done anything, they must prove it to us that A, B, C, D have been done, but they have done absolutely nothing, Shabbat.
You know, Amanda, when you look at Chatsworth during the reign of Raj Bansi, and you know, Amit Chand had the whole of Chatsworth under control. Did Phoenix also vote for Raj Bansi? You know, when did this, because most of Raj Bansi's, voters are now DA, called diehard. See, am I, correct in my assumption there, Ahmed?
Shafat, Raj Bansi had a very massive following all over Chatsworth and Phoenix, especially in the Indian area. One good thing, Shafat, with due respect, I worked with that man and I know how he thinks, but what Chatsworth has got, what Phoenix has got, we must thank him. He has did some good because he looked after the Indians and he brought in infrastructure in Chatsworth and Phoenix. Things that you got in Chatsworth and Phoenix is because of him today, Shafat.
You make a very good point. I remember that, we had our Nizi Khan, the Falcon Khan, Nizi Khan and all. They got things done. And, you know, Raj Bansi and them, they worked very closely with each other. I mean, you knew how our local elections used to carry on. But it was even, Buthelezi and all used to come in, to Falcon Khan's place, sit down and have lunch or supper with them and so forth. But there was this tri-cam thing, which many people said, these individuals here, Raj Bansi, and, when you had the SAIC and all that, these were sellouts. How did you read them? Now, you being in politics in the new democracy, how do you read the people of yesterday, Ahmed?
Shafat, those brothers and sisters who were in government, they did something. If you take YC Mir, the man was, he was a legal eagle, you can call. Shafat, I learned under him. And I used to go and sit with him. And my father used to say, what are you going there to, Mr. YC's house? I said, he said, anyway, you go there. He's a good man. You learn from him. And used to, Shafat, he used to give you bus fares. He said, go take these papers and go to the registrar of court and go and stamp it and bring it back. There's something for you. He'll give you lunch money or whatever it is. And all, Shafat, that's how we learned the hard way of how to. Today, if you tell me to draw up an affidavit, I can draw an affidavit for you because I learned from him how to draw an affidavit, how to address an affidavit, who do you address that affidavit to. All these things you learn from some all these elders. And these elders today, those yesterday's Shafat you're talking about, they had a vision. They knew, they said, put masjids, put mandils, put soccer grounds, put tennis courts, schools. Everything they made sure that they put in our areas. And today you go to Chatsworth, there's about 10 to 12 schools empty, and superstar schools, when I mean big school with soccer fields, you name it, they've got empty. Before somebody else start going, they only got security looking after these schools because their schools are not being used because there's no numbers anymore. Because they, you know, schools have been run with numbers. They closed some of these schools. And you see, in fact, I have made, in Sikaulik, we made an application and we're making into a training school in Sikaulik. That deal has, I've assisted my nephew there. And we have at least got that thing before it get vandalized. Even in Chatsworth, I'm asking anybody if you want to open an ulum, if they want to do something in Chatsworth. There's so much of school. Simple thing, write to the Department of Education. They will give you, open it into a madrasa, do something, you know, art and craft and make application to the government what you want to do. They will give it to you gladly because they don't want it to get vandalized, or at least they know they got somebody filled up in the school. Only thing, the agreement will state that when they need it, they will give you 60 days notice or 120 days notice. That's fine. But the main thing is you put your foot in there. They won't take it away from you. At least you know you got facilities for your community. And this is where we are falling short. And the other communities are coming and taking, because they're getting information, and we're telling, you know, I'm talking about Jamatul Ulama, I'm talking about the Sunni Jamatul Ulama, I'm speaking to all the Ulama Council. I'm telling them, Shafat, come. There's money for art and culture in the Itigwini municipality. Not one of them even thinking of picking up a pen and writing and saying, you know what, we in our Rabiul Awal is coming just now, Shafat. Just now will be Muharram, and after that will be a Rabiul Awal coming. We can get for you can make a big mass milad in Phoenix, Chatsworth, anywhere you can do that. And anything to do with Islam, you can go and apply, because it's a legacy of our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The monies are there, but nobody, for the last 2 years I'm crying, come, right, I will assist you. I will take it to the head of the department, and I will assist through the lawyers and all that, do a motivation and get that money. But nobody wants to come, Shafat.
Yeah, and the slum will say, hey, we got the bucks, man. We don't want it. We got the bucks. But anyway, on a more serious note, Ahmad, you know, you talk about YC Mir. He was very instrumental in getting the architectural design done of the Zipinga Beach Masjid, and, you know, also the South Coast Indian Football Association. Think tank behind that, and you know, had the Baudas with him, and your good friend, the late Adam. You remember Adam was the records clerk, and also Adam's son, Munaf, when he, you know, it was YC Meef that motivated him to become a lawyer, also. Ahmad, you recall that history?
100%, Shafat. You know, you know when we moved into 1917, Swingo Beach, the Sam China tournament was taking place, and all that. And,
yes.
Then YC used to tell me, assist me, we got at the Island Hotel, we got a meeting, we got delegation coming, you need to do A, B, C, D and all that. So all these things we learned, and at that time, you know, they had, you know, football was played on a, not on a non-racial basis, it was played on a racial basis only. And then we had the Indian team, the African team, the colored team, the white teams, you know. And then they had the Chevrolet actually sponsored that tournament. It took place in the old Kingsmead soccer stadium there, and that's how we saw how football was run with in Spingo Beach. And you know what, Spingo Beach was the second best or the best football grounds in the country, Shafat.
No, you know, you hit the nail on the head. Clive Barker used to coach. Was he the coach of the Indian team? No, Gopi Naidu and all these. And I remember I used to go there as a lighty and sit there and, you know, watch him. And he'd say, hey, come here. Come play there. Come do this and that. Learned so much from him, you know, how to coach goalkeepers, center forwards and midfielders and all that and defenders. But that was it. It's a Pingo Beach ground was really, you know, one of the finest grounds ever, Ahmed. But now it's gone to rack and ruins. It's not in that level anymore.
The problem is with all the grounds. In fact, you know, I'm fighting a matter in Essenwood ground at the moment. They don't, you know, winter normally, when it's winter, in summer, they normally take the goalposts out. They do a topsoil. They come and put compost. They level the field. They roll the field and all that. Today, they don't do nothing like that, Shafaz. In fact, the last Eid we had at the Essenwood ground, I had to get outside contractors to bring in sand, couple of loads of sand, and got my boys to level in those. I can't understand how they even played soccer in those grounds there, because there was like potholes there. You know, you can actually sprain your ankle and you can get hurt. So I did all the filling because, you know, to make namaz there, we had like 2,500 people for Bakri, for our Eid namaz there. And I had to get that thing filled up properly first before we could do anything. And this is even for the Eid and the Bakrid one, I had to fill in sand because nobody, council is not doing anything. No, that's the problem that we are faced with, is there's no maintenance to our infrastructure. And that is a major concern for all of us. And that's where we are having all these water problems. We are having all this electricity problem because there's no service to these things. You know, even in our masjid in Musgrave, it's just about 18 months old. But we got pumps downstairs, and one of the pumps gave in, and then we didn't have a backup. Now, when I got in, I did the assessment. We had to make sure that we have a backup pump in for that, because we never know when the pump can give up. Because now you got a basement and you're pushing up the water to road level, so you need that pump. So this is the problem. If you're not going to have the infrastructure in place, that's where we go wrong, Shabbat.
Yeah, look at another message. Salim C. that says, Assalamu alaikum, Brother Shafaat Ahmed Khan, Councillor Ahmed Tarek. You guys are tops, and I really enjoy your chat. Please, Ahmed, the popular Durban beachfront spots have been issued with notice to vacate as the municipality forges ahead with facelift plans. What is wrong with the municipality? There's existing structures. They want to have a facelift when they don't even have the books in order. Neither is the municipality in order. They are creating disorder all over Durban. Please, Ahmed, advise.
Shafat, that you're talking about the museum park, that is very, very old vintage. And these rides and everything was actually imported from overseas, from Germany and various other places in the world. Now, Nick Stein, who was a DA councillor at that time, who acquired the thing many, many years, he's running it for the last 30-odd years. The problem there, in fact, we had a meeting with the city regarding this at the beachfront, and the problem is the equipment is so badly needs service and everything else, and he's asking for a very, very top price for this equipment and everything. His lease has expired. The city is not going to extend his lease. These other role players has come into the equation to say they want to take it over to get the new state-of-the-art rides and everything for the beachfront. And that is the reason. So we are looking at it and in that point, because the equipment that is there at the moment, firstly, you cannot repair it, number one. Number two is imported from overseas. Thirdly, with the load sharing and everything else, we don't even have backup. So these are the issues that we are faced with now. The thing is the city had to make a decision. What do we do in this case here? Renew it for a further year or give it to Nick Stein to carry on to run that facility. So now the city says, and Nick is not prepared to accept the offers that what we are coming with, and therefore we said, you know what, it is high time, let's get a new system going into the beachfront.
Ismail said, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Tariq. How has the burning of trucks affected business confidence in Durban?
Shafat, to my knowledge, in the last couple of days, about between 10 and 12 trucks. In fact, I was hearing the news yesterday with Peking Kele that they have put in additional security on the main line from Durban Joburg. So we want to see how it is. And I think this is an undercurrent from the trucking mafias that they want to get rid of some of the foreign drivers here. And this is a problem that is you know, there's thousands of rands of equipment and the trucks has been torched to completely burn down. So now we have to the SAPS are looking into this matter here, and they're putting additional security in the main line. Let's see what happens in this coming week now. But altogether, as of last night, there was 12 trucks were completely burned out.
Alhamdulillah, a lot of messages coming through. And, you know, we spoke about that 600 million rand tender, which was out. And that's another question there. But, brother, we have addressed that question. It says there, Assalamu alaikum, Councillor Ahmed Tariq. We value how you handle the issues and how you address them. However, on a more practical note, there is a lot of underhand things that is going in our areas where brothers are building without plans, and also still the bribery still carries on with the building inspectors and so forth. How can we address these issues? I'm frightened to report because there's a lot of people in higher places that put people away because they become spriets. Ahmed, how do you respond to that?
Shafat, any illegal construction is taking place, whether it's a house or commercial building or anything, you know, obviously plans must be drawn up. And you know, we also got a facility where you can start the building and then submit your plans. That still stands. But the problem is, without any plans, and now what they are doing is, you know, you have a 3 meter from your building to your boundary wall, you're not allowed to build. Now, people are building, especially in some of this residential area, they're using total usage of the land. Now, that is illegal, that's one. Secondly, if they're putting up any building, they have to submit plans, whether you like it or you don't like it. And these inspectors going around and seeing to all these things, they can bring that building to a halt. You can't move one step forward unless they have put a plan in place, or the architect give you a letter to say that this is what we are doing, that the plan will be ready in the next week or something. Till that plan is submitted to the council, nothing you can do. You'll have to bring it to a standstill. But yes, people are frightened because, you know, there's an undercurrent in government that, you know, you pay, and you get your work done. That is the problem that we have at the moment. But, you know, if every one of us don't complain, then we're not going to get anything done. You'll find more and more of these buildings coming up where illegal buildings, they're putting out buildings, they're putting the usage of the full ground where you should be using. You cannot have usage. And some of them are going on to the stormwater drain. Some of them going on to sewage main system. They're putting a foundation there. And if there's a problem, then what happens in that case? So all these things is compounding on us, because people are not complaining. You have to complain. You know, at the end of the day, you're saying your life is at stake, but at the same time, if everyone think about they're not going to complain, then it's a problem. But you know what? They have to complain. And if you want to complain, don't do one complaint. You know, get a few other neighbors around you, get some friends, and all that. 3-4 complaints together, and it makes your life much easier.
Yes, Ahmed, this question here says, Assalamu alaikum. For obvious reasons, I want to stay anonymous. But what are your views, Ahmed, on Jacob Zuma? Should he be incarcerated and put into jail? He's an old man. Julius Malema, I think, made the right call where he says Ramaphosa should pardon him. What would you do if you were president, Councillor Ahmed Tariq? That's a probing question for you, Ahmed.
First and foremost, the Concord judgment was very, very clear that somehow the other Arthur Fraser from the Correctional Services has gave him a parole. In fact, whether the parole was legitimate, not legitimate, on the basis of that day, Shafaat Jacob Zuma still have been exhausted from going back into prison. That's number one. Secondly, he is not well. He's in Russia at the moment. He's under treatment, and with his age, he's in the 80s at the moment. I don't think so, and I don't want. You know, we must also understand. You know, the last time what you have all the looting and all that was being orchestrated by the Zuma clan. So now that is another thing. And in fact, Baking Gale said yesterday that he is ready for any issues that whatever comes before them, they are ready this time. But you know, how come you are ready now when the first time you were not ready? So this, where is our intelligence? Intelligence are sleeping. So this issue here, it's a long drawn thing at the moment because it still has to be. Although Concord is the highest court in the land, they have given a decision. Whether he want to go back into prison, from my knowledge, I don't think they will put him back there because when Arthur Fraser from Correctional Services gave him parole, so based on that, he was completely out of the hook. So, you know, it's like the Shabir Sheikh case. So I think based on that, I think he will come up scot-free, yes, Shaman.
Yeah, you know, when you look at the July unrest, there were, you know, signs that it was because of Zuma was getting into prison and so forth, and the country went pear-shaped. But a lot of criminality came to the fore, and they look for these opportunistic, gaps where they can come and cause a mayhem. Because, you know, it was amazing the amount of people. I mean, they looted to the amount of 50 billion rands, Ahmed. 50 billion is quite a sizable amount of money.
Shafat, that looting that took place, you know, it was so well orchestrated. It caught our South African police sleeping. It caught our intelligence. I don't think we even had intelligence, yet this country is supposed to have one of the best intelligence in Africa. We didn't have that. So when this thing took place, they knew exactly which stores, which centers, where to loot, where to go and go and loot these places. So everything was well planned. So how come, where were our security forces? Where were our intelligence? That is the problem. And now with what's happening at the moment, there's nothing stopping them to come back and do, because opportunity comes once in a lifetime. They say, go for it. And, you know, you saw what happened to the guy. He got sentenced for 12 months for looting Woolworths. And you know, he was one of the top executives in a top company. Today, he's lost his job. He's lost his vehicle. They repossessed his vehicle. So these things will happen, Shahad. So, you know, opportunity, people look for these things. And now, in fact, they must be already planning, because this might be another savior for the community, they're saying, because if 50% of the community is unemployed, so this is a massive problem that this country is faced at the moment.
I look at a message from Habib. Habib says, Assalamu alaikum. You guys are giving us some food for thought. Fantastic conversation, Brushaf. Keep it up. Something to note here. A few months before the looting took place, do you recall there was this movement by taxis? They were doing a drill. And in the looting, the taxis played a major role in transporting people and also transporting furniture here, there, and everywhere. And it is the same taxi association that is one of the biggest mafias in this country. Whether we like it or not, they run the roads. They also in cahoots with the construction mafia. They in cahoots with every criminality that's taking place in this country. Please, Ahmed Parak, address this issue. Ahmed, how do you respond there?
Shabbat, we've been saying about this for many, many years. This one industry is not regularized. First and foremost, the taxi industry, they don't pay no taxes at all. They're not even they only join a taxi association. The taxi association is a mafia, and you got, you know, today you don't play the game with the mafia, with the taxi association, they put you away. You know how many people in the last few years you heard that he was a taxi boss, and today he's no more. So in the taxi industry, first and foremost, what you need to do is regularize the taxi industry. You know how much of, you know, the tax man goes for everybody for taxes, but why they are not talking about the taxi industry? Because they're saying is the taxi industry consumes the highest amount of fuel in South Africa. So they have already paying the fuel tax. So we also paying the fuel tax too. When you go and fill up there, you paying your fuel tax too. So they cannot be exempted or anything like that. So first thing, what we need to do is to get the taxi industry compliant in terms of getting a company. They must be, the vehicles must be registered. Most of the vehicles you'll see there, how many of the taxis are not even registered? You'll see some of the tires. Well, when a taxi has a major crash, how many people they lose? One time, 16 people, 14 people, you'll find. The school children, they're taking school children, but yet the taxi is not 100% compliant. And you'll see young children have lost their lives because of that, Shafat.
You know, Ahmed, you made a very good observation. And this is literally, they call it a scoro-scoro. I mean, you'll find a scoro-scoro rattling, the doors are actually falling out, and you're wondering how this thing is doing a trip from here to Durban, and you're seeing it going through the freeway. And I mean, law enforcement just turn a blind eye to things like this. And what can be done? It's also believed, it's alleged that Jay-Z is one of the kingpins of the taxi industry in KZN. How true is that, Ahmed?
So far, Jay-Z, he's got his finger everywhere. You know that, his faction is still running South Africa. Yet Zuma, Ramaphosa is there, but Zuma has got his members still there because all his cronies are still in government at the moment. So they're still calling the shots. So that's the reason. In KZN, they cannot do much here because of one reason, because Jacob Zuma is here, and if he calls the shots, it'll happen here. That is the problem. But the long and the short is, you know, these problems, that is not going to go away, Shafat, because unless the government starts, you know, buckling up, making sure they're getting the right people in government, and put this whole South Africa together, put this puzzle together, because investments will be more, you know, with the problem that we are faced, there's not much investment coming here. But on the other hand, yes, there's some of the top countries in the world, they want to invest. When the problem is in any country, when the chips are down, they want to come and invest because the good times will come.
As you said, the good times will come, inshallah. And let's do one more message here. This is a very interesting one. It's from Ghulam. He says, Assalamu alaikum. I'm a regular listener to this segment, and alhamdulillah, jazakallah khair for it. He says, Ahmed, you keep on saying that we all should be registering to vote. But I know even if we all get together and register to vote, the ANC will still win the next election. And I know they will do it because EFF and the ANC will ensure that they will still rule for the next 50 years. How do you respond to Ghulam here, Ahmed?
Shafat, Ghulam is 100% right. First and foremost, before the 2024 election next year, the EFF and ANC have already signed a treaty. That's been done and dusted. So that's one. Secondly, the ANC got another 10 months to loot this country so that they can use that money to buy votes. That's another factor we have to take into account. Lastly, Shafat, importantly, if every one of us think like Ghulam, not to vote, then you cannot cry later to say that, you know what, I'm not getting the infrastructure, I've got electricity problem, I've got light problem, or sewage problem, water problem. So you don't have a voice. By virtue of not voting, you don't have a voice. So you need to vote. So vote for a party. I'm saying, I'm with Action SA. You decide who you want to vote for. Vote for a party and then hold that party accountable to say, you know what, I voted for you. there's my membership. I voted for you. I want X, X, Y, and Z. They will then try at least be a top the opposition party to whoever the ruling party. With the looks and with the things of happening at the moment, the coalition is going to be a thing coming for 2024, because I can't see, even with the ANC and the EFF getting together, they will be able to pick up the numbers what we will be able to do with the coalition, Shabbat.
Ahmad, you know, as I said, you always add value to your segment. Straight talk, your parting words this morning.
Shabbat, you know, the country is in a real shambles at the moment. Every way you turn, there's problems. The only thing what we can do is, you know what, make dua, Allah make it easy. There's no country in the world like South Africa. And then, as Ghulam said, vote in the new coming 2024 election, and then we'll try and see if we can make a difference to this country and the better for our community.
Inshallah, Ahmad, you have a mashallah. A blessed morning ahead. We'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.